UMass swept Lowell in the home and home on the back of two Ryan Ufko overtime game winners, but only got 4 out of 6 points doing it. We're recapping the two games and discussing where they put UMass heading into the final weekend of the regular season. So let's go.
Virginia shoots, he scores! McCart, one timer, score! Hollinger fires, he shoots, he scores! UMass does it again! Watch out! Watch out!
High Character.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 116 of High Character, presented by Home Field Apparel. UMass had a big series with their rival, UMass Lowell. They're not having the great season, so we came in really wanting all 6 points. They got two wins, two overtime winners from Ryan Ufko. Pretty crazy. It's second and third of the year, but they only get 4 out of 6 Hockey East points, and it sets up a very interesting last week of the regular season. My name is Cameron, and as always, I am joined by my good pal, Evan. Evan, how you doing, man?
Cameron, I'm flipping it back to you. How are you doing? I feel like we never talk about how you're doing on the pod.
I am okay. I wanted a little bit more from the weekend. The old day job is a little tough this week, so I'm doing all right. I'm really looking forward to this weekend. I'm a little bit stressed out about it, honestly, for reasons that we'll share later, but I guess I'm not doing too well, but happy to be here recording with you. So
I picked probably the worst possible time to flip that question back on you. So I apologize in advance, but I figured we'd switch it up a little bit, try and get some new vibes in. But yeah, I mean, just to kind of piggyback off that, I mean, I get it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel kind of the same way. I feel like I've kind of softened up a little bit. Like, I was pretty angry, like, after Saturday night. Like, you know, obviously still was supporting everybody on senior night, and I didn't let it get to me. Like, I was still cheering on the team, but like, I feel like we were really adamant in our last episode. You got to get all 6 points, right? Like, we were basically like, 6 points or bust. Kind of seems like we didn't really get the job done fully. You know what I mean? So it feels a little bit, I don't want to say disappointing, because like, again, like the reason why I kind of softened up was like, realistically, we had some other results go our way, you know, this past weekend. So it definitely helped us out pairwise. I hate saying that, but I always default to saying that phrase, and it always sounds,
it comes back so often too.
Yeah, I know. It's just the way that I talk. But regardless, I mean, I can't say that I'm too happy with it. I mean, two wins was obviously great. It looks good for the record and everything, but it just feels like, you know, we were in crunch time. You know, it would have been nice to kind of get packed, you know, in my opinion, some of those points we might have missed out on in the previous two weekends. And we sadly just couldn't get everything out of this weekend. So a little mad, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, my frustration stems from the fact that you could say that we could have easily won both games had some boneheaded mistakes not happened. But we'll get into that as we go along. First, we got to talk about Home Field Apparel. They're making some more UMass waves the last couple weeks. They just inked deals with, I believe, the Midnight Ride Collective.
Yep.
So they're going to be supporting UMass athletes. They were one of just like 10 or so schools that Homefield is partnering with. So pretty big. And if you guys don't know Homefield, you haven't been listening to this pod. I know that.
Yeah.
But they are a premium collegiate apparel company. They have clothes for over 150 schools. It's really nice, high quality stuff, a lot of vintage inspired stuff. They had a big UMass line. They dropped even more a couple weeks ago. Some new hockey designs that we're loving. I just wore Homefield to the last two games. If you were watching the stream, you saw us on TV. I was rocking my Homefield, so I'm loving it. Some really good stuff, and great to see them just get further entwined with UMass. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, not to like overly like pat ourselves on the back, but like it kind of feels good. Like, you know, we were kind of like the first ones that they kind of reached out to, seemingly. You know what I mean? So like, it's really cool. Like, just knowing that like we're working with like a company that's actually like trying to like ingrain themselves into UMass. You know what I mean? Like, they were probably super stoked with how like the event at the hangar went, and they were just thinking like, how can we branch out even more? Like, UMass is such a cool market to be a part of, you know what I mean? So I think that, you know, I definitely think, I mean, it's great to be, you know, we kind of got in early on it, and I feel like it's super, super cool to just kind of, you know, be able to kind of just put ourselves into that sort of like community. Like, it seems like we're kind of branching out ourselves. You know what I mean? It just seems like UMass is becoming like more and more kind of just ever evolving, if that makes kind of sense. You know, like, it's just very, very cool to see. Super happy to be working with Homefield. And I love their products. You hear me talk about it all the time. I think it's always super comfortable, super sick designs. So couldn't be happier to be a part of the Homefield family. I don't know if they have like a term for that, but yeah, super, super, super happy to be a part of them.
Yeah, so if you want to be rocking some cool UMass designs, some unique ones that you're not going to find anywhere else, you could also support us doing it, and now you could even support UMass athletes doing it. Head over to their website, homefieldapparel.com. Use our code PUCK10, that's P-U-C-K-10. You get 10% off your first UMass order there. So really, really circle of life helping everybody out here, which is awesome.
Definitely, for sure, man.
All right, so let's get into these two games. First one, Friday night at Lowell. Lowell came in a very, very disappointing team this year. We talked about them a little bit in the last episode, how they've like severely underperformed. Their offense is one of the worst in the country, and they just have not looked good all around. They have just a couple of Hockey East wins, so really not great, which is why our expectations for the weekend were 6 points, but always a tough place to play. The Songhees Center, we were there. It wasn't a great crowd for Lowell standards, obviously, and hoping for a win. UMass coming in, obviously, Michael Hrabel gets the start. You were hoping, I guess, maybe if we talked weeks ago, that he could maybe get a game or two here or there off, just with the playoffs coming up and stuff like that. But he doesn't, and he shouldn't for the rest of the way. Nick Van Tassel is the extra skater for this game. No Elliot McDermott. And for the rest of the lines, they look pretty normal. I'm not noticing anything too out of the ordinary here.
Yeah, I actually forgot to pull it up. I'm kind of an idiot for that. But as far as I could tell, just like off of like kind of memory alone, I don't think there was anything crazy. I forget if was Sanda in the previous series. I just wasn't sure if he ended up. I mean, I know that
I think he got one game in the last series.
Yeah.
He didn't see any time this weekend.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure if he played the second UNH game. So that would have been like one of the main differences going in. But I just don't remember which game he played in. But
He didn't because Vanderbois got in. That's that second UNH game.
Yeah, I remember that Vanderbois was the extra skater. I just wasn't sure if Sanda was on that fourth line in the winner spot. That's what I wasn't sure about. But I mean, like I said, regardless, wasn't, you know, luckily it doesn't seem like there was any like major injuries or anything like that. So that was good to see. Like, we didn't have anybody out seemingly long term. So obviously health, I feel like, is kind of one of the most important things when you get to kind of this playoff time. Like, you want to make sure that you kind of have like a deep lineup. And if anything does happen to go wrong, like, it's, you know, next man up type of things. But knowing that we seemingly have basically our full lineup going forward, it's always super encouraging, especially when you're heading into the playoffs.
For sure. And there was a little bit of a shakeup in the defensive lines. Obviously Alger and Ufko get paired up. Normally Scott Morrow's with Samuel Nassari. They swapped Bollinger in. So it was Morrow and Bollinger. Mm-hmm. And Nassari paired up with Owen Murray. Bollinger, Murray, and Elliot McDermott are kind of that revolving door of third-line D-men, so they changed it up a little bit there. So that is one change. Going into this game, UMass did not come out of the gates very hot. Not many chances for either side as we went through here. This first period, there was no score by the end of it. And UMass, I guess, kind of a theme for this weekend, coming out flatter than we'd hope against a definitely inferior opponent.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like, you know, I don't know if we talked about it at length previously, but we've definitely mentioned, I feel like, before UMass's willingness to kind of play down or up to their opponent's level. I know that was certainly a thing last season. Like, I remember last season, like, and honestly this season as well, when it comes to coming up against those like top five, top 10 teams, it always seems like we bring our best. Like, we almost beat BC in, you know, what we thought was very questionable fashion. You know what I mean? So, you know, we can play with the best of the best, but then also we can kind of, you know, like, we talk about Lowell, right, in the grand scheme of things. Like, yeah, they're dead last in Hockey East, but, like, I'm pretty sure they're still middle of the pack pairwise. You know, wise. God, I did it again. But, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's just,
yeah.
So, like, you can't discredit them too much, but there's definitely been a propensity at many points this season. I think there was a quote that came out earlier on in the season. What was it against Northeastern, right? Like, we didn't, like, I think we went to overtime with them, and we heard after the game, like, Northeastern's not like a premier team, so we didn't take them seriously. Like, that's something that kind of concerns me a little bit. I feel like that'll help us out, you know, more and more kind of as the playoffs go on, because I feel like we're going to be playing against better and better teams, and we're going to kind of elevate our, you know, our level of play to
match no
the
ranking. Left.
Exactly. So I feel like, hopefully there's no more like trap games, so to say, but, you know, it just seems like, I mean, you could probably back this up too with some sort of empirical data, but it always just seems like, you know, sometimes we don't bring our best against the opponents that I feel like we should easily be beating. And then sometimes we go and shock the world and put up great, great performances against those upper echelon teams. Super perplexing to me.
Yeah, it is super weird. Hopefully we don't have to worry about a situation like that. We have two games against Maine and then playoffs, so only good opponents from there on out. But yeah, super weird. We go to the second, more of the same. Honestly, I thought UMass looked better in the first than they did in the second. Lowell dominated even more of the possession in the second, and it started to get really frustrating. But very end of the period, we see Aaron Bollinger skate the puck around at the blue line. A guy, senior this year, captain, hasn't been given as much opportunity as we're used to. He tossed a shot from the blue line, gets deflected on the way. I think the goalie got a piece of it, but it is able to trickle home and break that tie, give UMass a 1-0 lead real late in the second.
Yeah, and that's huge. You know what I mean? Like, just being able to actually break through. Like, it finally, you know, I'll be honest, like, I don't really think that we actually played too bad to start off with. I think the main issue for me was just the fact that, like, we didn't really capitalize on anything. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like we were generating some chances, like, we were getting shots. I think we were out shooting them for the most part this game. And it just seemed like, sadly, we just couldn't really get anything by Welsh. And, I mean, that's kind of to be expected. Like, it seems like every time that we kind of play Lowell, especially at Songus, they kind of play, like, I'm not going to be out here talking systems. I'm not that much of a student of the game, but, like, they tend to play a very defensive style. You know what I mean? Like, they plug up the neutral zone. They force dump and chase. I think they forced us to do that in both games quite a bit. Like, it was just, you know, no clean zone entries. And that's kind of what they do, you know, up at their arena. So, I mean, we definitely tried to break them down as much as we could. And I feel like, you know, we got a couple chances. We were getting pucks to the net decently well. Could have done better, obviously. But I still feel like, you know, we could have had a couple more goals. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think Welsh had some solid saves. I think we might have had one or two breakaways, I think, throughout this game. And, you know, we got stuffed on those. So, yeah, you know, super unfortunate. But the fact that we finally did break through with that Bollinger goal was definitely a sigh of relief at the time.
Yeah, and that goal kind of broke the dam for the game as a whole, because 13 seconds later, Lowell wins the ensuing faceoff, skate the puck behind the net. Mercury gets a handle on it. He has possession, trying to stick handle around. Falls to his knees with the puck, still stick handling. He just kind of weirdly backhands it into the middle. Really, really bad pass. He forced it for sure instead of just holding it against the boards. Picked up right away by Lowell, and Jack Collins is able to wrist one home to tie the game just seconds later. So really, really bad turnover, and in every way a goal that you don't want to give up. Bad turnover near the end of the period and just after you finally take the lead. So this was a rough one all around.
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about a freaking momentum switch, dude. Like, you go from, you know, minute and a half left in the period thinking, yeah, we expect to lead, let's go. And then all of a sudden it's tied back up again, and now they have all the momentum in their favor. It's like, the hell are we doing here? You know, like, it's definitely annoying for sure. But, I mean, it was just, you knew it was going to be one of those close games, right? Like, I feel like, you know, knowing, like, how the games at Songus always seem to go, I shouldn't have been too surprised by this result, but it was just, I feel like if there was any time for UMass to kind of, like, turn the corner and, like, really start playing their best hockey, it was going to be with this game in the series. And then we would have been rolling into Maine ready to go, and then ready to roll right into the playoffs ready to go. It's just something was missing this game. I don't know what it was. Like, Rabble played well enough, obviously, but just, like, we kind of shot ourselves in our own foot. Like, Mercury kind of had that bit of a boneheaded play that just led to a goal against. Like, I don't really think Lowell had really many other opportunities besides this in the game. I feel like, as a defensive unit, we were playing decently enough, and Rabble was shutting them down for the most part in this game. It was just one really bad turnover that ended up screwing us over and tying the game up.
Yeah, and Rabble, for the entire game, only had to make 20 saves, so Lowell wasn't getting a ton of chances. It was more UMass just not being able to capitalize on theirs and create. In the third period, a lot of nothing. This was a lot of neutral zone play. In fact, the shots for this period were only 6-5 in favor of UMass, so if you actually look back from the last couple games and you look at the third period shots, a lot of single digits, a lot lower numbers than the first two periods for the last few games for UMass, which is a little weird. I don't know if there's anything to that or just a weird coincidence of a trend, but there were no goals in the third, which was pretty disappointing, knowing that you're not going to get all 3 points against the Hockey East bottom dweller in Lowell. But in overtime, we see Kolahara has the puck near UMass's goal, trying to create something and break out. He has an absolutely beautiful pass off the sideboards up into the neutral zone to a skating Ufko, who finds himself all alone. And we've been talking about, even in the crowd at this game, we were talking about how bad UMass has been lately on the breakaway, trying to reminisce, think about when their last breakaway goal was. Ufko gets a breakaway here in overtime, and he stuffs it home over the glove side of Welsh. Gives UMass the win, 2-1. They get two Hockey East points. So I think our feeling after this happened was much more of a relief than an utter joy moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, that's probably the best way to put it, right? Because, like, I don't even remember really celebrating. Like, I was happy, yep, obviously, but it was more of just, like, a, like, finally. You know what I mean? Like, I can actually, like, take a moment. Like, I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, we could only get one point out of this game. Like, what are we doing, boys? You know what I mean? And it's just, you know, I wasn't extremely happy with the result. I feel like, you know, we just, at points, like, we looked a little sloppy sometimes, but it felt like, on the whole, like, I don't think we were playing all that bad. Like, we were getting, you know, decent shots at times. Like I said before, like, Welsh had to make some saves. And, you know, luckily we finally get this breakthrough, you know, like, on a breakaway. Because I forget, was it – I think Suniev might have had a breakaway in this game. And I think he got stuffed on it.
Yeah.
I think there might have been one other one as well. I forget who. Might have been, like, Kenny Connors or somebody. I don't actually remember. But, yeah, it just – it felt like we could have – you know, we could have taken all 3 points, which is what's super frustrating. To get two, decent enough, but – like how we were saying before, I feel like it was 6 points this weekend or bust. And again, we just couldn't get all three. And I was a little upset about that.
Yeah. And we keep saying that 6 points or bust this weekend. UMass came in, I believe, 15th in the pairwise before this game.
Yeah.
Which is one spot out of the national, minimum one spot out of the national tournament picture, the way that things are lining up with these conferences right now. So, really needed to take advantage against the poor teams. If they were to get a loss, it hurts a lot more because it's a team that's in the lower 30s of pairwise. Plus, UMass came in 5th place in Hockey East, right behind Maine and Providence. So, just trying to get as many points as you can. If they were to get all 6 points this weekend, they'd be tied for 3rd right now, but instead they're tied for 4th with Providence, and they still don't know if they're going to get that home game. So that's why we keep bringing it back to wanting 6 points in this series. But I was a little, not perplexed, I guess at this point in the season, I've come to expect it, but Carvey's quote, he's very happy. And it kind of didn't match our feeling at the time, but I'll read it. He said, "I was really happy with our game tonight. We played a really solid 65 minutes. You know, you grind and grind and finally score a goal, and then they score the next shift. That was a little maddening, but I was really happy with our play tonight. Our two captains, two defensemen score our goals, which was a little surprising. I'd like to see us get to the net a little bit more tomorrow night, but we came in here with a game plan, and I thought the guys executed really well." Defensively, I would agree with that, if that's what the statement is about. Came in with a good defensive game plan and executed it well. I didn't see much from the offense that I was too proud of. The overtime goal was a breakaway, which was a great pass from O'Hara. And this, the second period goal was just a shot from the blue line when you're cycling the puck. I don't know. I don't fully agree with this quote, but I've come to expect it at this point in the season. It's kind of what he's been saying after all the wins that have this similar feeling.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, right? Like, I think me personally, right? Like, and this is why I'm not a coach and I should probably not even finish the sentence that I'm about to say, but like, let's say I were to be the coach of this team, right? Like, if I'm doing my, like, pre-scouting on Lowell, I already know they don't score goals, right? At the bare minimum.
2.3 coming into the game?
Yeah, goals per game? Which, granted, on the whole, I think this weekend we ended up averaging, or we lowered their average, I'm pretty sure, because they had 1 in the first game and then 3 in the second. That averages out to 2 a game. So that's actually less than what they've scored. So on the whole, yeah, defensively, I think we did pretty well. But knowing that, like, the team that you're going up against can't score already, I mean, it's obviously great to focus on defense, right? But I feel like, you know, they're going to try and beat you with their defense. They're trying to stifle you. You know what I mean? Because if they already know that they're not going to get many goals this weekend, most likely, they're going to at least try and shut you down to keep the game relatively close. And that was what Lowell did all weekend. You know what I mean? Like, it took late game heroics in both games just to get the win. You know what I mean? So, like, I mean, I understand, like, half of the game plan was executed well, but, like, if I'm a coach, right, like, and I get, like, it's one thing to say something to the public versus, you know, one thing to your players, but, like, me personally, if I was out there giving the interview, I'd say I wasn't happy with the offense tonight.
Yeah.
Like, you get 2 goals, that's good, but, like, it overall, like, when you're, you know, when you know that your opponent is not a goal scoring team, you got to be able to put at least two past them, bare minimum. I'd like to get three or four. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just like, that's just the type of team that Lowell is. So, I mean, if I'm going out there saying that, you know, we executed the game plan, but realistically our game plan was winning in overtime, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if that was the best execution of the game plan at hand, but
yeah,
you know, that's just my opinion on it. I mean, hey, we still got the dub at the end of the day. Can't complain too much, but I do think that there are things that we clearly could have improved on, you know what I mean? And done a little bit better.
Yeah. I think the reason that I'm personally like that is we have Maine next two road games. And if this is our game plan that Carvey was happy with, scoring one goal in 60 minutes, the one game that we played against Maine this year, they shut us down. If you remember a couple weeks ago, that was 1-0. Very, very frustrating game for UMass's offense. So you have them coming in. I don't know, maybe need to change the game plan a little bit to try to create some more offense. We'll see. But get the win. UFCO's second overtime winner of the season. We saw him do it way back when this year against Providence to complete that sweep. So maybe the new Mr. Clutch on the team. We'll see definitely after this second game. So we go into Saturday, Mullins senior night, weird 6 o'clock game start. So all kinds of weird stuff happening. Lines are pretty similar. The defense got changed just a little bit. Ninisari is back with Scott Mora on the second line. Elliot McDermott is back in. He lines up with Bollinger in the third line. And then Owen Murray is the extra skater. So no Van Tassel here. Did you notice anything that could have accounted for those defense changes in the second game compared to the first one?
I mean, not really. That's kind of the thing that perplexes me even more is like, we played a pretty good defensive game and now we're messing with the defense. I'm like, huh? Like, I don't know. It's a little odd to me, but like overall, I mean, is it really that much of a big change in the grand scheme of things? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like we've seen kind of like two or three different main looks like on defense in terms of like personnel being shifted around. So I feel like, you know, those guys are definitely used to playing with each other. I don't think it's that drastic of a change at the end of the day, but it seemed like kind of one of those changes, at least in my eyes, where it was just like, why bother? You know what I mean? Like, if it was already working out beforehand, I could see like if somebody was like being dropped due to like injury or like they felt weird. But if I remember correctly, those three players were in like the game, you know, the previous night, but they were in like a different configuration line wise, right? Like there was nobody new that came into the fold and nobody left, you know, that
was McDermott didn't play Friday, but he played Saturday.
Okay. So that was the bit. Okay. So I'm stupid. Understood. So I mean, realistically though, like I still don't think it was that bad. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like we definitely could have rocked with the same lineup, you know, just in the, you know, at least defensively, like maybe you shift some things up offensively to try and get a spark like we've done in previous points this season. But defensively, I mean, it was kind of whatever to me. You know, that was a really convoluted way of saying I don't really think it made a big difference in the grand scheme of things.
For me, it really perplexes me in hindsight, especially after seeing how Lowell scored some of the goals in this game. But we'll get into the details of those. In the first period, UMass actually came out looking like the better team. It's more what we expected, at least for the first half of the first period. Kind of control and play a little bit more, get that bigger ice that UMass is accustomed to at home. And then, about halfway through the first period, UMass goes to the penalty kill. This will be the one time I speak on the refs this series. Thought they did a good job. Nothing really to report home about. No frustrations there. Thought they were solid. Maybe a little too many penalties for what I'd like, but solid job. But UMass goes to the penalty kill, and we see just a really brutal Lowell turnover at UMass's blue line. The puck bounces right to Ryan Lautenbach, who gets in all alone. Almost a carbon copy breakaway to what Ryan Nufko got on Friday night. Coming up the right side, the defender kind of like 6-7 feet behind him to the left. He's able to put one home just like UFCO did. Just like that, it's 1-0 UMass, and they were 2-for-2 on their last two breakaways after a really tough streak.
Shut us right up, didn't they? I mean, honestly, you know, really, you know, can't complain about that, obviously. I think the thing that I like the most about this play, Lautenbach just turns on the friggin' Jets. You know what I mean? Like, that's at least from what I could tell, just kind of over the course of his collegiate career, that's kind of been a hallmark of his game. It's always been kind of work rate and speed. And I feel like that's literally what created this goal, right? I feel like a lot of the times, not just at UMass, but like just in games of hockey that I watch in general, if you get that sort of turnover in the neutral zone like that, I feel like sometimes players aren't as eager, especially kind of on a penalty kill sometimes, to just turn on the jets and just go forward and try and make a scoring chance. Mm-hmm. They'll either try and, you know, move it up, maybe try and waste some time, maybe wait for support from like your other players, you know, but generally I feel like on the penalty kill, you like to kind of slow things down. Lautenbach saw his chance and he took it. You know what I mean? Like, he just said, screw it, I'm going towards the net. We'll see what happens. And he came in with a great move. Like, when I saw that goal, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, I'm like, why is this guy not in our shootout lineup? You know what I mean? Like, we see guys like Michael Cameron who haven't, you know, he hasn't really gotten many breakaway chances recently, you know, whether that's just kind of due to like, you know, the line that he's playing on or just like overall chances or whatever. It is what it is. But Loudy has been doing his thing when it comes to speedy, you know, slightly skillful goals with well-placed shots. That's what you need on a freaking shootout, you know, squad. And it seems like we haven't had that recently. So super, super weird that we haven't seen him in the shootout, you know, ranks recently. But yeah, love this goal. Love the way that, you know, he just had the vision. He took his chance. It was great, great.
Yeah, it was great. And then I think just a few minutes later in this game was the real turning point for kind of the mood in this one.
Yeah.
Little less than 8 minutes left in the first period. UMass trying to clear the puck. It's behind their own net. Ninasari ends up with it on his backhand. He tosses a little backhand saucer pass, trying to hit Kenny Connors, who's right in front of Michael Hrabal. Connors didn't expect the pass. It hops over his stick, right into the low slot area. Lowell takes it away and immediately puts one past Hrabal to make it 1-1. A really tough mistake. I want to say mostly on Ninasari for the pass that had some air on it. Kind of a spot you shouldn't really be passing to. And just like that, it's 1-1.
Yeah, a little scary there. I mean, I don't fully blame Samuli just because, like, it seems like a lot of the times on the breakout this year, I feel like we try and utilize that, like, you know, mid-slot pass. Like, just that, like, that little, like, kind of, you know, release valve type pass. Yeah. Try and get the defenseman out of the pressure from the forecheckers. But, I mean, this is the one time I feel like that it kind of, you know, goes astray. Normally, you know, it seems like that play gets done, you know, in 95% of the time it works. You know what I mean? Like, it's usually not a big deal. Every now and then, you know, it's one of those plays where if you screw up, you really screwed up. And obviously that's kind of how it worked out here. So, I mean, you don't want to make that sort of play every time. It's definitely kind of a risk versus reward thing. But I don't really blame anybody involved. I mean, like, you know, Samuli saw the guy. I mean, you know, poor execution, you can say. But I feel like Connors, you know, knowing how dangerous that pass could be, I feel like he could have done a little better to try and corral that puck, or at the bare minimum, just block it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, send it back down low. Just make sure that it doesn't get into the mid slot like that for a wide open opportunity. So, I mean, definitely a screw up by both guys in the grand scheme of things. But I mean, definitely you never want to have an unassisted goal give up just because you know that there was a clear error that led to it. So sucks to see, especially, you know, considering the momentum and again, considering all of the pressure surrounding this game in terms of, you know, pairwise and everything. It's just, it was a tough pill to swallow for sure.
Yeah, and it gets even worse just 1 minute later. Owen Murray, who is the extra skater for this game, is skating the puck. UMass has possession in the neutral zone. He just kind of inexplicably backhands the puck right to the center faceoff dot. Lowell's able to skate it in and immediately score on a wrister from the slot. So just like that, in 1 minute of time, Lowell has two goals to make it 2-1 on some really boneheaded mistakes. And it was a very weird, somber feeling in the Mullen Center after this one.
I mean, mind you, two unassisted goals. Like, yeah. I feel like that's kind of the bigger slap to the face here. It's just like, again, if it's an unassisted goal, something bad clearly happened. You know what I mean? Like, there is definitely somebody to blame. It's not like it was a beautiful passing play. It's not like it was some crazy, you know, like this guy just straight up like dangled five people. Like, he glided into the offensive zone, basically untouched, right? Like, we just kept backing up off of him the whole time. Didn't make an attempt to block the shot. Didn't make an attempt to try and poke the puck away from him. Didn't make an attempt to play the body. Literally just stood there. He gets a rip off. Granted, I think it was, what was it, Owen Murray, who was both, I think, the reason for just kind of him getting the puck anyway and being able to glide in. But also, like, he wasn't in a really great spot to make a play on the puck. He's kind of, he was almost shooting Hrabal. So, I mean, obviously, it's one that Hrabal probably wants back just due to how far away it was. And it was a pretty, you know, uncontested shot in the grand scheme of things. But I feel like everybody could have done better in the defensive unit here. Like, we played solid defense the night before, and now we're doing this type of stuff, and we're getting two goals scored on us a minute, you know, basically a minute apart from each other. What's going on, guys? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we were sitting there just saying, what the hell? Like, we got to figure this out.
Yeah, this first period was my qualm with us having shaken up the defensive lines, because you have the guy, Owen Murray, out with Bollinger, I think, at the time. That wasn't the line coming in. He was the extra skater. I don't know what happened with the change there or whatnot, but both goals are a result of bad passes from a D-man who was with a different line mate than the last game. So could be unrelated. We're not, like we say all the time, we're not hockey coaches, but certainly notable for me having seen those lines before the game started. But that's how the first period ends. 2-1. UMass had a lot more shots than Lowell did in this period, but it's the boneheaded mistakes that give Lowell the lead. Didn't feel great in this intermission, but felt pretty good just a minute into the second period. We see Aydar Suniev skate the puck up the right side. He gets just an absolutely filthy wrist shot far side on Luke Pavicic, who we haven't talked about yet, but we'll probably talk about him a little bit. Filthy shot past Luke Pavicic, far side. Blocker side, top corner. This was an insane snipe.
Aydar Suniev is a filthy, filthy man. Like, that's the best way I can put it. Like, you guys know me. I've been talking about him since, like, the year that he was recruited. You know what I mean? Like, I was watching the BCHL. Kid looked insane. I was ready for him to make waves at UMass. He's been doing that. Like, I love this kid to death. Like, genuinely, like, he just, his skill set that he brings to the table, like, he's dangerous at any given moment. Like, I feel like, you know, we've seen guys before on, you know, like UMass teams, like whether it was like our freshman year, like when we started watching the team, or just as early as last year, like there were guys that I feel like who played for UMass where I'm just sitting there like, please don't shoot the puck. You know what I mean? Like, just don't even, like, don't even bother, you know, like play it off to somebody else. Like, you know, play a bit more team oriented. Aydar Suniev is a guy where if he takes a shot, doesn't matter where it's from, it doesn't matter what angle, I'm happy that he took the shot. You know what I mean? Like, he is the guy, if I'm a coach, I'm giving the green light to at any point. If this kid's not ending the game with at least 3 to 4 shots, you know, in the game, he's wasting his time. You know, like, you need to shoot the puck if you're Aydar Suniev, because just like on this play, this kid was absolutely electric. You know, like, just sniping it far post, top corner. Pavicic, who we didn't even talk about as being the starting goalie for this game, Pavicic had no chance on this. You know what I mean? Like, Pav, he was on the team last year, ended up transferring out. I don't know how much we want to go into that, but yeah, he ended up leaving the program, and he ended up going to UMass's rivals in Lowell. And he gets to start here. A little poetic, I'd say, just for the fact that, you know, he's coming back to the Mullen Center and he's actually playing. They wanted to get a 920 save percentage out of him, like UMass got out of him last season. Clearly did not happen. So that was definitely interesting. But yeah, obviously moving away from that point, Aydar Suniev, insane sniper. Loved to see it. Was super happy when that happened, because I knew the moment that he had the puck in his hands, he was going to do something special. And that was it right there.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we don't know all the specifics on the Luke Pavicic departure. Might have been some hard feelings. I don't know. But he does get the start, trying to get a revenge game. And he actually played pretty well.
That is the last thing that I'll say, is that he actually did play pretty good. I think he had like 4 nasty saves in OTA in like in overtime. Like, he had like the knob of a stick on like 3 different shots. It was nuts. So fair play to him, but he didn't get the job fully done.
Yep. He looked lost on this shot by Suniev, but most goalies would. Makes it 2-2 in the second period. Some back and forth action. UMass really having a tough time getting possession in the second period. After the goal, it seemed like Lowell dominated the possession for a while, and they get some good things out of it. They get a power play about halfway through, cycling the puck in their zone. They just take a rip from the top of the faceoff dot, very similar to Aaron Bollinger's goal on Friday. It's able to find its way home, and as the second period comes to a close, Lowell takes a 3-2 lead, and not happy vibes at this point.
No, especially, like, it seemed like, I mean, that was a well-worked goal by Lowell, just in the sense that, like, if you're on the power play, you get bodies to the net and good things are going to happen. Like, that was what they did. There was like 3 or 4 different players right around Hrabal. That makes his life hell to try and save that puck. So, I mean, well executed by them, but I just feel like the penalty kill needs to be a little bit better. Like, obviously the penalty kill was great in the first period. We got a freaking shorthanded goal off of it. That's awesome. That's like the best possible scenario. But to give up a power play goal, you know, later on in the game. Little unfortunate. You don't want to see that, especially for them to take the lead. So little bit, you know, upset about that one, but we had to move on and we had to figure it out in the third period.
Yeah, we did. Like I said, Lowell was kind of controlling possession in the second period. That flipped in the third. UMass had a lot of shots in the third period. They had 12 compared to Lowell's 2. So really starting to dominate in the third. And it pays off about halfway through. We see UMass on the power play, and they're just kind of cycling the puck in the zone. Again, a very similar situation to the Lowell's last goal. Ufko finds himself in the same exact spot on the ice, puts a wrister home. It's been a little while since we were able to say it, but as Evan likes to say, a twine-seeking missile from the captain to tie it at 3 halfway through the third.
You had robbed me of my thunder. I wanted to say it so badly. You know, I'm going to say it again. That was a twine-seeking missile right there. And that was, I mean, that right there got everybody right back into it. Like, I felt like the energy was kind of, I'm going to say, like, dismal. I don't want to be, like, too negative here, but it's just the vibes weren't really there. You know what I mean? Like, we're down in the third, and we're sitting here thinking, like, what are we going to do? How are we going to get back into this? And then, like, the Superman Selly to, you know, you know, to cap it all off. Like, vibes at that moment were electric. It was a great shot. That, like, I feel like that was, like, what we did on the play. It was, like, we had bodies kind of near the net. And, you know, we screened the goalie. You know, we made it tough on Pav. Squeaks through. You love to see it. Vibes were back. You know what I mean? Like, we were starting chance. We were getting into it. Like, that was what we needed, was just that big-time momentum shift, and we got it from Ufko. Like you were saying before, earlier on in the episode, maybe the new captain clutch. It sucks that we're only going to be able to call him that for maybe the next month or so, because he's most certainly gone in the offseason. But super, super happy he's able to deliver clutch performances, at least for the next month, hopefully.
Absolutely. Yeah, the vibes were good after that. But it's kind of weird. I wanted to get your thoughts on it. As the third expired, the last few minutes, I noticed a really big lack of urgency from UMass, especially when it came to Lowell just sitting at their own faceoff dot with the puck for like the last minute of the game, and UMass not attacking or forcing a pass. I was really unhappy with it, given the circumstances of Hockey East Points, particularly not taking a chance to try to get the win, get a goal, get that extra Hockey East point. I don't know if you feel the same way. I was pretty upset with the lack of urgency near the end of the third.
I mean, I agree to an extent, right? But like, you know how I am on this pod. I like to play devil's advocate a little bit here. If you're looking at, you know, the overall implications of the game, right? Like, put yourself in Carvey's shoes, right? Like, you may or may not know how other games are going on at the exact same time. You know what I mean? Like, maybe you have like an intern or somebody keeping tabs on it, saying, how much of a risk do we have to take? Like, me and you knowing after the fact, pairwise stuff worked relatively in our favor this weekend. You know what I mean? So yeah. Obviously the results are important, you know, for both pairwise and obviously Hockey East Points, but you know, it gets to the point where you're kind of thinking like, at what point is risk too much, you know? Like, does it get to the point where like, if you're hovering at 14th in the pairwise in the final game of the regular season, are you pulling your goalie in a tie game? You know what I mean? Like at what point are you going to evaluate that risk and figure out what risk makes sense and what risk doesn't? Like, if we have, you know, 30 seconds left in this game and we could turn potentially 2 points in an overtime win into zero if we start, you know, forechecking too hard and we, you know, misalign our players and then we get an odd man rush going the other way off of a stupid forecheck, you know, what are we going to be saying then? Oh, you know, it was great that we had that urgency, but it bit us in the ass. Like, you know, there's definitely a counterpoint to your logic, I feel like. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I understand, you know, you want to get, you know, it's 20 seconds left, you know, at least make an attempt. But I feel like, you know, Carvey was probably weighing the risk and reward and said, you know what, a 4-point weekend is not the worst in the grand scheme of things. Even if we get the OT loss, you know what I mean? Like, we basically split with them. So, you know, it's kind of weird to justify it like that. And I totally get your point, but I'm kind of seeing where the coaching staff's at too. You don't want to get overzealous and have it bite you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think my frustrations come just from the fact that UMass was so dominant in this third period.
Yeah.
They led shots 12-2. Didn't seem like Lowell got anything in terms of scoring chances. I think they had one odd man rush with like 4 minutes left, but Hrabal made a nice save. Other than that, UMass is really dominating, especially on the forecheck. I just thought it was the right time to kind of push things. But yeah, there is a weighing the risk and reward thing type there. But this game goes to overtime. Again, we see UMass with the puck. Really, really nice play. I think UMass is on the power play in overtime off of a really nice penalty drawn by Idar Suniev.
Yeah.
He
was getting mauled on that play.
Yeah, just really strong on the puck, got himself a penalty called. So UMass has four guys out there. I think it was Morrow to Suniev to a streaking Ufko to the low far side slot. In the press conference after the game, we saw Carvey say that Ufko actually drew up that play in a timeout from an Instagram video he saw of the Buffalo Sabres doing the same thing in overtime. And it works absolutely to perfection. Morrow passes it to Suniev on the right side. Ufko skates from the top right corner down to the low left slot. And he's wide open for a one-timer. He doesn't get all the puck, but he didn't need to. The entire net was open. And just like that, UMass takes a 4-3 overtime win. Ufko's second overtime winner of the weekend, his third on the season. Just crazy stuff. I don't think we've ever seen a guy have three overtime winners in one season.
Yeah, and especially back-to-back games. He's getting two of them. Like, that's nuts. So, I mean, who else but Ufko? You know what I mean? It was an amazingly drawn-up play. I mean, literally, there was nobody within 15 feet of him, including the Tendy. You know what I mean? Like, just had absolutely everybody fooled. So, you know, I forget who it was on the screen. It must have been Connors, because was he the other guy on the ice at the time? I don't remember.
I believe he was.
Yeah, so he must have been the guy that was providing the screen out in front, which I think is kind of the key that no one's really thinking about in this play. Tav didn't even know to shift over. Like, he was still stuck in, you know, like prime screened position while by the time that the puck was already in the net, because he didn't even know that the pass went cross crease. You know what I mean? Because, you know, Connors was sitting there out in front. So I think that was kind of the overlooked part of the play that I think is super, super important. Everybody kind of had a role to play and they all played it perfectly. And that's what culminated into that goal. Super, super awesome goal, you know, to get nice little tic-tac-toe play. Obviously I wish that they did that 5 minutes, you know, prior in regulation. But it is what it is. You know, we can't all get what we want. But, yeah, I think that goal was great. I think the reaction afterwards was pretty funny. I think Pav got a little upset. He ended up breaking a stick over the crossbar. I think the UMass Twitter, newly proclaimed queen of UMass, Allie, big fan of the pod. Shouts out to Allie. She got, like, some, like, camera time afterwards, like, basically calling Pav a bitch, which was kind of funny. Like, I thought that was absolutely hilarious. So, shouts out to Allie for that. Huge, huge stuff. Love to see that type of energy. But, yeah, I mean, I wish we got 6 points on the weekend, but what a way to get four. It was pretty freaking clutch in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, really clutch for Ufko. Yeah. Basically will UMass to getting those extra 2 points there. Overall, though, UMass gets 4 out of 6. We were saying coming in needs to be 6, especially because we dug such a hole for ourselves with the bad calls the last couple weekends, not getting those points. We really needed them. And a little concerning to me the way that they played when it matters as much as it did. And I guess Carvey feels the same way after game two specifically. He said, "I didn't like the way we started the game. I think it's kind of human nature. We win last night, hard game on the road. We weren't ready to compete. I thought Lowell was really good tonight. I thought they played a really good road game and maybe deserved to win. Our third periods are always our best, and it was again tonight. I don't know how other teams have done it. I've done, but you know, we're putting ourselves in a spot to hopefully play a home playoff game." A lot of stuff there in that quote. He didn't like the way we started the game. I thought that was one of UMass's better like times in this game was the first 10 minutes. So interesting there, but definitely interesting to hear him say that he thought Lowell might deserve to win tonight. You don't often hear that out of him.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think he meant it more from the perspective. And I mean, this is obviously me putting thoughts into his head, but like, I think it was more of a case of like UMass's like poor defending was kind of the reason that they were at least in the game at all. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, like, we had a nice shorthanded play. That was definitely a mistake on Lowell's part. But like, both of our first two goals against were monumental screw ups by us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So right off the bat, like, yeah, that's pretty easy to say that we at least, you know, we deserve to be down 2-1 for sure. But I mean, Suniev's goal, I mean, that was just an absolutely inspired solo effort. You know what I mean? So like, you figure Pav probably should have got a piece of that in the grand scheme of things, but that was an absolute snipe. It was just from a long ways away. So, I mean, I'd say it was pretty fair to be, you know, 2-2 tied at that point. It's just kind of a matter, I feel like, of the last two goals. I mean, they had a nice power play goal. And then, you know, Ryan Ufko with an absolute amazing twine-seeking missile to tie it up. I don't know how I feel about technically, like, you know, they might have deserved to win. I think it was a coin flip, you know what I mean? And
yeah,
it went to overtime. So clearly it was pretty darn close to a coin flip. And we, you know, we picked heads and we picked correct, you know what I mean? So
yep,
it is what it is. You know, it was definitely a nice win, but yeah, I mean, I don't particularly disagree or agree. I'm kind of indifferent, but you know, this isn't really like the Carvey quote analysis show. This is just kind of UMass hockey on the whole. So yeah, that's kind of my thoughts on it.
Yeah, I think thoughts aside, I think it's going to take a better effort
to beat
teams like Maine, two games up in Orono this upcoming weekend, and then hockey is playoffs, which UMass has already earned their bye. Still yet to see if it's going to be a home game in the quarterfinals or a road game, but it's going to take a better effort defensively and offensively, I think, to get it done against those teams. So a little bit stressful seeing what happened down the stretch. Normally you like to see a team getting hot going into the playoffs, but we'll see how it goes. I'll update everybody on the pairwise because it's very important at this moment. The spots between 10 and 16, 17, that area, so bunched up right now. The scores, I actually did a deep dive the other night on pairwise and how it's all calculated. I might know less now than I knew coming in.
Oh God.
It's just so complicated. But what I do know is it's incredibly bunched up between 10 and 17. Like I said, 14 is the place that you worst case want to be if you want a chance at getting a bid in the tournament. But UMass right now is at 12. Depending on – they got a lot of help, like you said, over the weekend. And depending on how next weekend goes, literally anything could happen. I think they could finish anywhere between 9th and 17th or 18th right now. Which is scary for sure. Going to need a good performance against Maine next weekend.
Yeah. I don't really know it like necessarily like what the clinching scenario is, just considering all the other pairwise movement around us, but
it's too complicated to figure out.
A scenario. I mean, I'm just trying to think like realistically, you hope that you split, I guess, against Maine. And then I guess at the bare minimum, we'd have to win our first, you know, playoff game. That probably puts us in a decent spot.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that's totally doable. You know what I mean? Like, I think realistically, if we combine the defense that we showed in game one of the Lowell series and we put in the offense of game two, I think we'd be all right. You know, I think it's just a matter of it not coming through all at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we've definitely seen it come through at the same time, you know, in multiple games this season. Like, we have some huge, huge wins, some really, really good performances that you could argue could have been wins. Like, they're, you know, we are not a bad hockey team by any stretch of the imagination. Like, I think we do fully deserve to be in the tournament. I think we are by far a top 16 team in the nation. We deserve to be there. It's just a matter of proving that to the selection committee. You know what I mean? And yeah, I think we should be able to, considering the games that we have against us, or, you know, up ahead of us. We'll see how it shakes out, but I'm pretty confident with this team. I really like this group of players that we have on the team right now.
Yeah, and we'll jump into the Hockey East standings right now too, since it's so important at this point. After this weekend, BC has won Hockey East regular season championship outright, even with the weekend to play. They've just been that good this season. BU will finish second. I think that spot's already clinched as well. Then third, fourth, and not even fifth, tied for fourth. Maine, UMass, Providence. Maine has 38 points. UMass has 36, and Providence also has 36. All teams with two games to play. So it's all out there on the table for anybody's taking that third and fourth spot, that guaranteed home game. UMass, like we said, is going up to Maine. They're 2 points behind. If they get the sweep, automatically UMass is the three seed. But it's gonna be interesting for sure, especially look back at this season. I know we talked about it a few weeks ago with things that happened with the refs, not getting all 6 points here against Lowell. Just like that all tallies up to being very bunched up. And can't really take a breather this weekend. So got to at least beat Providence in terms of points this weekend. I know they have a tough schedule, BU and Northeastern. I think they're both home games for Providence, but those are two tough opponents this year at this point in the year. So we'll see how it goes. I know I'm rambling on. There's a lot to consider going into this weekend in terms of UMass and the out-of-town scores.
You're saying that as if I don't ramble. I mean, come on, Cam. Like, you're going to get your time in too. All right, so how do we want to do this? Because, I mean, it sounds like we're already talking about kind of the standings talk, and, you know, we talked about Maine quite a bit. Do we just want to preview Maine now, and then we'll just go into the awards after, or do we want to
wrap up, let's talk about
Maine?
It's too important right now.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, so like we said, UMass, two games up in Orono to end the season. That's exactly what happened last year, two games in Orono, and if you remember.
Went pretty well.
Yeah, if you remember last year, we got all 6 points up there, so... the thing about Maine right now is they're really on a slide. I mean, if you look at them, their entire season, they're ninth right now in the pairwise. That's a fall from them. They've been around the top four most of the season. Their record is still nasty. 20-10-2. They're 12-9-1 in the conference. But the real sparkling number there is they're 10-2-2 at home.
Yeah.
Just 8-8 on the road. And obviously these will be two home games, but like I said, they're on a pretty bad slide lately. They've just lost a game last weekend to Vermont. You never want to be doing that. They lost 4-0 to Northeastern at home. They lost to New Hampshire, both games in Durham. They lost to Providence at home. So the month of February has not been kind to the Black Bears. And we're just hoping for more of the same.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a matter of, we have to try and beat an opponent while they're down. You know what I mean? Like you said before, I think they split this previous weekend?
Yeah, with Vermont.
Yeah, and I mean, that's not really saying a whole lot. You know what I mean? Like, we've had our issues with Vermont, obviously, but they're not really a top team in Hockey East right now. You feel like if you're Maine and you want to show off what you can do, you got to get all 6 points there. And the fact that they didn't, that's a little concerning. You know, similar in the sense that we're a little concerned about the Lowell series, you know what I mean? But I think on the whole, we probably have more momentum than them. What they have in their favor is, like you said before, they're really strong at home. Alphond sucks to play in. Like, in the case of, like, really, really good, you know, crowds, really good student sections, you got to constantly yell. I think the acoustics in that building are pretty tough for coaches and stuff. So it makes it a difficult place to play, but we got to persevere. You know what I mean? Like, we just need to show that we're better. And, you know, like you said before, we played really well there last year. And that was, you know, in a season where we weren't really doing all too hot, you know? So the fact that we were kind of trying to play spoiler for them, I don't actually think they were doing too hot either. I think we were ninth and they were eighth that season. I don't remember them being that good, because, you know, most of their big time contributors right now this season are all freshmen. They didn't really have the same group of guys that they have now. They're led by the Nadeau brothers. I think we talked about that, you know, about a month ago when we were talking about the previous main game that was supposed to happen. I mean, it's really the Nadeau show, if that makes any sense. I mean, 32 games played for both of them, 39 points for both of them. I'm pretty sure, I don't think they're twins. I think one of them is like 3 years younger than the other. I think Bradley's kind of like the young budding star, essentially. I think he's a first round pick in Carolina. Really, really good players, both of them. You know, we talked about their goaltending before, like Victor Osman was the dude back then. He has more games played, but his stats are significantly worse. I think it was Albin Boya, I believe his name was. I finally figured it out because he's a Swedish. I think it's Boya instead of Boyja. So, yeah, he has really solid numbers. I mean, a 208 goals against average, 912 save percentage. Those are some good numbers, you know, and he has a much larger sample size now. We really can't knock the sample size like we could before. He shut us out last time we played him. So,
yeah,
we got to figure out how to solve him. We got to figure out how to get some more goals in our favor. I think we'll be in a good spot. Obviously, you know, those are kind of the two key ways to win any hockey game, but I think it's also, you know, important to say in the context of Maine, you know, they're really solid on both ends of the ice, and that's why they're ranked so highly right now. So we just got to find a way to break through.
I have some breaking news.
Breaking news.
Friday, March 8th, the date of the first game that UMass plays in Orono is the start of Maine's spring break. So,
no!
So that home ice advantage, that awesome student section that we were just talking about, it won't be as bumping as it normally is, for sure.
What the hell possessed you to look that up? That was a hyper genius move on your part. Like,
I see that the schedule goes, it seems like, a week later this year. So I just wanted to check just if there was a chance. And
dude,
it starts on Friday. So that is big. That is big.
This is that hard-hitting, high-character journalism right there. Like, I feel like nobody was thinking about looking that up. And then Cam just comes in here with the knowledge bomb. Like, you love to see that. I mean, that kind of changes the whole conversation, doesn't it?
It really does.
Like, I mean, it's definitely not going to completely empty out the building. But, I mean, they're a big reason why that place is tough to play in. So, I mean, if you can obviously, you know, we're going to take what we can get, you know what I mean? Especially at Alphonse. So can't complain about that in any stretch of the imagination. That's actually some pretty huge news. So good looking out there, Cam, for sure.
Yeah. And if you pair that with the fact that they're 1-2 in their last three home games, this is very doable for UMass to get at least one win. I think that's the, I think 3 points, I don't want to say that's like the bare minimum that we can get to be safe,
Please. Yeah, I think, yeah, I mean, to be 100% safe, you got to get the sweep there. I mean, I feel like a split puts you in a decent spot, but it puts you right on that bubble. Like, you're playing with fire right there. So, I mean, you know, again, Maine's a really good team. I don't think we want to expect, you know, the sweep there, but it'd be a damn good thing if we can get one.
Yeah, I think a sweep would get, it would definitely, like, for sure, guarantee the third seed in the Hockey East tournament. Mm-hmm. Which we would end up playing, it looks like right now, either New Hampshire or Lowell, the winner of that game. I think a sweep would guarantee a spot in the national tournament too. And just given what we're talking about, I think it's doable. So obviously you can't come to expect a road sweep at the hardest road arena in Hockey East, but it is doable. So obviously that's what we'll be rooting for this weekend.
Yeah, we'll see how it shakes out.
All right, so yeah, big series coming up. Unfortunately we won't be there. It's just real tough to make that drive. We just made it last year. Who knows if UMass ends up having to play there in the quarterfinals of the Hockey East tournament, maybe we'll be there. But for this one, we're going to have to pass up, our last games that we'll be missing of the year. But if you're there, make your presence felt. It was fun being there last year. Just, some of the only UMass fans in the building, just getting real loud when UMass scored. That place got pretty quiet and all you could hear was us. So make some noise if you're there for sure. But what do you say we move on to our awards from the series to wrap it up?
Let's get it.
All right. So the first one that we like to give out, CCC, Carville's Character and Compete. This is an absolute no-brainer. The award's named after Carvey, and it's going to his favorite player on the team right now. It's Ryan Ufko.
Yeah.
Deservingly so. Two overtime winners, three goals on the weekend. Probably the only D-man out of the entire lineup that I didn't notice make a mistake in this weekend, if you kind of look at it holistically like that. So the guy's kind of the heartbeat of the blue line, the heartbeat of the team at this point, honestly. Without him, who knows what this episode would be. We might not have played the theme music to start this one if we didn't have Ufko. So great, great series from him and deserving CCC.
Ryan Ufko, I think, without a shadow of a doubt, is probably the best player on the team. You know what I mean? Like, he's proven that, you know, especially this weekend, but over the course of the whole year. You know what I mean? I feel like me and you, we've been talking about Scotty's offensive prowess. We've been talking about Samuli Ninasari's defensive prowess. I think Ufko is kind of just a mixture of both.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, defensively, he's not the biggest guy in the world, but he plays big. You know what I mean? Like, he's been a lot more physical. He's been doing a great job blocking shots. I think in game one, he ended up getting, I don't remember exactly how many because I already actually closed out the box score stupidly, but I think he got like 3 or 4 blocks in game one. Like, he was blocking shots like you wouldn't believe. And obviously his offensive contributions in the series were absolutely monumental. You know what I mean? We could have went from getting 4 points to 2 points if it wasn't for both of his OT winners. So that right there is massive. We could have only had 1 point on the weekend if it wasn't for his game tying goal game two. So, you know, this guy, I don't want to say single-handedly was giving us points because obviously it's a team effort, but when you look at the box score, he's showing up in amazing form, you know, in multiple moments. Huge, huge weekend for him. Super, super happy that he actually stayed with us for the season.
Yeah.
Because there were question marks about him leaving last season. Right now, he looks like one of the best defensemen in Hockey East, maybe one of the best defensemen in the nation. He's him right now. He's amazing, amazing for this team.
Yeah, and we were poking fun at Carvey earlier this year a little bit just for how much he was gushing about Ufko, and it makes sense, man.
Especially I get it.
See a weekend like this. It's unbelievable performance. All right.
Absolutely so huge.
Next up is good try, UMass. The player that we think can play a little bit better the next time out there. This, we don't often do this. It's going to 4 people this time. And it's not just we want them to play better next time. We need them to play better next time out there, with the stakes being as high as they are. It's going to Mercury, Ninasari, Connors, and Owen Murray. If you look specifically, they are responsible for 3 goals across the series. The game-tying goal on Friday was because of Mercury's turnover. The Lowell's first goal on Saturday was from Ninasari and Connor's turnover, and then their second goal immediately after was on Murray's turnover. So without those mistakes, I mean, obviously there's going to be mistakes. Nobody's perfect. But without those, UMass sweeps the weekend. It's pretty – sometimes it's really hard to point fingers for our good try award, but I think this one is kind of given with those mistakes directly leading to goals against.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a matter of cleaning up the simple things. You know what I mean? Like, if you just make the safe play and we don't try and force it and do too much here, we would have been smiling this weekend. You know what I mean? It would have been pretty comfortable. So the fact that, you know, it was more of a case, in my opinion, of shooting ourselves in the foot rather than, like, Lowell looking really good. We made Lowell look good. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think Lowell, especially offensively, were particularly dangerous.
No.
And that's backed up by their stats. You know what I mean? So, like, the fact that we, for lack of a better term, gifted them three goals this weekend off of our own, you know, turnovers and mistakes is really, really concerning, I guess is the word. You know what I mean? So, you know, definitely something we're going to have to clean up. The only thing that I will say to Connor's defense, because I saw this on the box score earlier and I forgot to bring it up, dude had 5 block shots in game one.
Yeah.
Like, if that's not, like, Sponge Award right there, like, that's absolutely insane. Like, you know, fair play to him. You know, you got to get your body in front of the puck, you know, to try and block it. If only he blocked that Ninasari pass, you know, if he got 6 block shots, that would have been great. But sadly, he couldn't get that part done. But other than that, I mean, those block shots were huge. So I just wanted to shout that out. I know we kind of talked about him in not the best of lights, you know, here for this award. But I do think that was one thing that I feel like is a little bit of redeeming quality, you know, at least for game one.
Yeah, a little silver lining there for sure.
Exactly.
All right. What is your custom award?
All right, so I am giving the Unsung Hero Award to my guy, Idar Suniev. I mean, look, this kid, you know, nobody really talked about it that much, but, you know, because he didn't have the late game heroics that, you know, UFCO did. But in game two, he had 3 points. He ended up assisting on both the game tying goal and the game winning goal. And he scored the second goal of the game, I think, to tie it back up, you know, in the middle of the second period, in the beginning of the second period. Sorry. This kid was doing stuff that was just unfreaking believable. You know what I mean? Especially in game 2, he didn't really get a whole lot done in game 1. I think he had a couple chances that, you know, were unfortunately blocked. I think he might have had 1 or 2 breakaway attempts that got stuffed, but he was making plays this weekend. He was the offensive guy in what was, you know, maybe not the best of offensive weekends for us, at least in game 1. It definitely wasn't, you know, it took a little bit to get those pucks in the net, but he was a driving force behind a lot of our offense, especially in game 2. He was huge. He's out here making amazing shots, great, simple, you know, passes, you know, really good cycling in the offensive zone. He was just constantly play driving. And we don't have, in my opinion, a ton of guys that can do that. You know what I mean? That can just single-handedly make plays by himself. A lot of our offense, like we've talked about before, is really team oriented, you know, like just getting guys in front of the net, you know, trying to just get greasy, dirty goals out in front. Idar Suniev is a pure skill guy, and you need those, you know, especially when you're trying to make a run, you know, for, you know, national championship glory. You need those type of guys that are just going to will your team to victory. He played a huge part in that, especially in game 2. And obviously that got overshadowed by UFCO's brilliance. You know what I mean? So, but I had to use this time to just show off Idar Suniev. Kid doesn't need an introduction, but I feel like, you know, he's just somebody that people got to continue to keep their eyes on, because this kid's dangerous and he's only getting more dangerous as time goes on. One of my favorite players on the team for sure.
Yeah, I think he's probably won the most awards this entire season if we tally him up, and deservingly so. He's had a fantastic year and he just seems to be getting better and better. One thing that I noticed from him, he is incredibly due to score on a breakaway.
Yeah.
It seems like 4 or 5 times in a row, maybe more to this point, he's gotten out on a clean breakaway and just been stuffed. It's not even like he's missing the net. He's just getting saved. But he's incredibly due. I hope he's saving them all for the playoffs. That would be pretty nice. But yeah, he's been so fun to watch. Played a massive role in that win in game 2. So good job, Idar Suniev. Seems like every series we're giving him some kind of good award. So it's awesome to see.
I think realistically, just real quick before you give your award,
yeah,
I think he needs to start just shooting from the blue line. Like, that's where he's scoring more goals from. Like, instead of just taking it in tight, trying to beat the goalie up close, he scored goals from the faceoff dot. He scored goals from, like, the blue lines, like, in the corners. This kid's not scoring in traditional areas, you know what I mean? Like, most of his goals have been from, like, you know, cutting across the ice, like, out front with traffic in front. it seems like if there's traffic around him, that's kind of one of his signature moves, I feel like, is manipulating his shot. Like, yeah, that's something that a lot of people do, like, in the NHL. Like, I know this is, like, some high-tier scout analysis stuff right here, but, like, if you look at a player who you think is NHL-ready, you know, guys like John Leonard that were at UMass, and, you know, even guys like Macklin Celebrini right now is at BU, one of their major kind of contributions to offense, they can shoot from anywhere with any sort of stick position and body position, and they know how to kind of thread that puck through bodies. That's what Suniev's really, really good at, too. He's able to shoot underneath defensemen. He can shoot around defensemen. If you look at him, it feels like that his shots don't get blocked all that often. They're always at least getting somewhat towards the net. I feel like a lot of guys on our team, when they try and shoot, they're just hitting the defenseman in front of them, not Suniev. It seems like all of his shots just find a way to the net. And if your puck's getting to the net, you obviously have a chance to score. If your shots are getting blocked, you're not getting anything done offensively. That's what I think has been setting Suniev apart from a lot of other people. And that just shows how much more NHL ready he's getting by the game. You know what I mean? Which,
yeah,
I kind of don't want to admit because I want him to stay at UMass as long as he can. But if this kid's improving and putting in NHL level performances, I want that to keep going because it's only going to help us out in the long run.
Yeah, for sure. So great job, Suniev. That's the unsung hero award. And my custom award's going to another unsung hero from this weekend. I'm going to give out the bumpers up award. If you go to a bowling alley, you could ask to have the bumpers up so that you don't put it in the gutter. You can get a nice strike off of a bounce on the wall if you want to. The bumpers were up for Cole O'Hara in the first game at Lowell on Friday. In overtime, he has the puck on UMass's goal line and just an absolutely perfect pass up ice to Ryan Ufko off of the sideboards. It's like he was using the bumpers to his advantage in bowling. Put it right off the sideboards, right to Ufko's stick for the breakaway. So who knows what happens in that overtime period and how we're looking at this series without that perfect pass from O'Hara. And overall, not even just that pass, I think he's looked really good lately. Not to star levels like Idar Suniev has in the second half, but just consistently game in, game out, creating a lot of scoring chances, a lot of good passes specifically. So I'm really liking what I'm seeing from O'Hara.
Yeah, I knew O'Hara was due, you know, at some point, right? Like, he kind of had a slower start to the season. I had him pegged as the, you know, most improved player. You know, I don't really think it necessarily worked out like that, unfortunately, but, you know, he definitely is showing off what I thought he could do. You know, just he didn't really have the consistency at the beginning of the season. We saw flashes. Now it's starting to come together a little bit more. I mean, 2 goals last weekend, you know, against UNH. Now he got himself a clutch assist, you know, in 3-on-3 overtime. Like, just the fact that he was even out there, you know what I mean, in 3-on-3 OT, that shows kind of the level of trust that the coaching staff has with him. So clearly he's been making strides. You know, he's been improving his game. He has a lot to offer. It's just it wasn't really on full display earlier on. He's really, really picked up his game, and we need that. You know what I mean? Like, secondary scoring, that's how you win championships. You know, it's about, you know, obviously you want your top guys to get in time, but every now and then there's just that one team that has a really, really strong, like, defensive first line, and they just have guys that can shut down your top guys. If we have those secondary guys that are kind of just waiting to strike, then we're putting ourselves in a great position to succeed. And I really think that Cole can kind of fill in that gap. You know, that's been kind of, you know, the things that you kind of need secondary scoring wise to win championships and win playoff games. I think he has that.
Yeah, for sure. 6 goals, 9 assists on the year. Those numbers are starting to creep up back to a good spot. Maybe we see him with the Nashville Predators someday alongside Ryan Ufko. Who knows?
That'd be damn cool.
All right, so that is everything that we had for this one. Biggest series of the year by far coming up. UMass needs to get the job done. I'd go as far as to say a win on Friday would be the biggest win for this program since the Hockey East Championship in 2022.
Whoa!
I think the win puts you in a really good spot to clinch that tournament spot, puts you in a really good spot for Hockey East playoffs. So, yeah, that's I'm pretty firm on that. You agree? You agree with that? Biggest
that that was big. I didn't even think about that. I'll be honest with you. I mean, in terms of like overall implications, sure. You know what I mean? Like, because you know, you want those. It's all about the postseason at the end of the day. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, regular season doesn't mean a whole lot, but you know, or I mean, it does obviously. Like, you want to get like, you know, Hockey East regular season championship, of course, but it's really about the playoffs and it's really about that national tournament. If we can punch our ticket to the Natty like that, you know, then we're looking good. You know what I mean? Like, that's obviously going to be huge. We didn't really have that opportunity last year. We just never really put ourselves in that sort of position. So, Yeah, I would definitely agree with you. I think this would be the biggest win so far since then. I think there are definitely, you know, there will be more opportunities to, you know, surpass that level of importance for future games. But
certainly
up until this point, I could definitely agree with you. It'll for sure be the most important one of the season up to this point.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. 8 o'clock on Friday, 7 o'clock on Saturday at Maine. You guys all better be watching, and know you will be, especially if you're the type of person to make it this far in this podcast. So
yeah.
All right, that is all we had. Thank you guys for listening. Go UMass.
Go UMass. Take care, everybody. And let's punch our ticket to the Natty or the national tournament this weekend.